Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Ding, 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 ding.
Linking going, going out there. Sip a do hair, sip a seat ass, nip a do a da. Wah, shit, boom, bing, a bit of do. Get a, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Uh huh.
Yes.
So you felt that and you experienced it. And what is it, Andy?
It's the word.
It's the word of God.
See, podcasts. Yeah. Now, radio. Back when we had radio.
Yeah.
I don't know if we still have radio.
In a similar form, we have podcasts.
Right.
And where the family often comes together of an evening,
and
hang around the iPod shuffle, and sit around
the dock.
The dock and listen. To, you know, let's say
the Ricky Gervais podcast.
The Ricky Gervais podcast. Maybe they listen to things you missed in history class or whatever.
Yeah. Gather around, kids.
Gather around. We're going to listen to the podcasts that were preloaded on my podcast app.
But radio, old school radio, that used to go out into space because it's all broadcast with radio waves.
Yeah.
Right? And so we could tell ourselves that you know, those things propagate out and are listened to by aliens and stuff.
Mm. We could tell ourselves
I don't think that happens with podcasts. I think, like, we've closed off that.
Is it too hard for aliens to get onto the net?
I don't know if they can log in. I don't know how many bars they get out there of our Wi-Fi.
I mean, there must be internet at the International Space Station.
You would hope.
Well, because they're always tweeting.
You would hope.
They're tweeting. They're like showing us the weird shit about, like, you know, they're wringing out cloths and showing us how water moves in space.
Yeah, and they're responding to questions from fifth graders, and they're also playing David Bowie songs on their guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like some kind of weird share house situation up there. The International Share Station.
Like that, and they're pooping into vacuums.
Yeah, or maybe it's more like a... Like a backpackers, because they are from all over the world.
All over the world, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, one's brought a guitar.
One's brought a guitar, and he gets that out, and those spacesuits, they have backpacks.
Oh, my God. You're right. And they have spacesuits.
Yes.
Like a backpacker.
I'm just going to...
What's that?
Absolutely nothing, Alistair.
Okay, great.
Okay, what's in this? What's in the International Space Station being a backpackers? Okay? Like, does it get advertised as a backpacking destination? Does it become one in the future? You know, a lot of hotels over time changing liquor licenses and that sort of thing, they wind up becoming backpackers accommodation.
Well, I think
around the city.
I think it's funny to just film it as like a sitcom kind of scenario.
Yes, yes.
It's the International Space Station, but you're treating it like a backpackers. It's just people are just kind of like,
great.
Oh, Yuri's, you know, pissed himself because he drank too much, you know, bootleg gin or whatever.
Yep.
Tramantha
is washing her running shoes in the kitchen sink.
Yeah, or like, you know, or so,
everything about that was just the worst example.
Tramantha.
Oh man, there's such density of failure in that example.
Tramantha, is that a name?
No,
no, okay.
No. That's just the start of it, Alistair. Anyway. What would she be washing off in space?
Yeah, well,
there's no dirt.
Well, there could be. You know, maybe she, the poop vacuum.
Oh, imagine if they had bed bugs.
Well, that's a possibility. Because as we know now, they found organic material on Mars.
Mm. Mm.
It's probably bed bugs. There's bed bugs in space. They now, probably can survive that.
Here's just one slight twist on that. Yeah. What if there's just one backpacker in there, right? Like one Swedish backpacker is in the International Space Station for some reason. Now we've got that interesting thing of that dynamic between these driven scientists up there to pursue the goal of bringing man closer to God, you know, knowing the mind of God. And then we have Sven, who's just looking to have a good time, you know, maybe meet some girls.
Once when I was in New Zealand at a backpackers, there was like a Swedish guy or a Dutch guy or something like that, and he was just like, I just want to have lamb. I want to have lamb prepared correctly, like here in New Zealand, because it's a place of lamb. I go, it's just going to taste like lamb. Like it's going to be, like if you've had lamb, that's what it's going to be like. It's just lamb, like it's meat. Doesn't like if you go to a steak, have a steak at a restaurant, it's basically like having a steak at home. There's not anything that they're doing to it really to make it like it just tastes like you're just eating meat. You know what beef tastes like, you know what lamb. I just want to, I hear lamb is great in space.
Spice lamb.
So, but now it's wacky. You see, now it's wacky.
Oh, you don't like it being wacky?
Well, I think it can be wacky, but it's like...
I feel like yours is more wacky.
Well, yeah, but it's like, but it's, they're still under the presumption of it being a space station, whereas now we've got a backpack. How did he get there?
Sure, sure.
Is he the guy from NSYNC?
He hitched a ride maybe on a shuttle or something, yeah. You know? Or like he crashed at somebody's place and then he just sort of invited himself along. To the space station. He was in at NASA and then they turned around and he got in there somehow. Maybe, sneaky. You know, he's almost like a kind of a virus or it's like Alien.
Mm.
But instead of an alien, there's it's a backpacker. That's, see, now we got something here, Al.
Yeah.
This, come on. You tell me this isn't a concept. Come on.
Well, I mean, so is it still the International Space Station?
It's some kind of space station.
Okay, well, if it's some kind of space station, then it's just like, you know, then it's kind of like it's more goofy.
It's goofy. It's more goofy. Sorry, not wacky. It's goofy.
Well, you know, but I think if it's the International Space Station, I think this is kind of like a thing people know and love from the YouTube videos. Yeah, they're wringing out cloths, water's coming out, you know, but it's a bit like a backpackers. And so that's more the allegory that you're using of a backpackers. You know?
No, that's the allegory you're using.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do
with
this.
Well, when I say you're, I'm saying the general populace would kind of be
everyone
okay with
except
that.
Except for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas you're really trying to bring in like reality in there of like, oh, what if there was an actual backpacker?
Alistair, I'm not bringing in reality. Everything you're saying contradicts everything else you're saying. Every syllable you say contradicts the previous syllable. This is, you're insane and you're dangerous.
Andy, you're upset that I'm not 100% on board. Look, but the thing
there
is
are
that
two, there are two different ideas.
There's two different ideas.
And they're both equally valid.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I'm being so generous.
I mean, like, you know, one thing that they ask you, this is like so from a conversation I had with somebody who's had meetings before. One thing they ask you in a pitch meeting is, why this now?
Oh, wow.
You know?
I mean, we thought of it.
And the thing is that something like, you know, just a random spaceship going through space, encountering, a Sven, you know, maybe in some pod that's just been floating through the air. They bring it in. He's just asleep there. They didn't realize it was just a backpacker.
Alistair, the more you flesh this out, the more excited I am,
by the way. And it's a great idea. And I think it's a great idea for like a, you know, for like, it's like Red Dwarf meets Alien.
Yes.
Right?
Meets like he died with a falafel in his hand
exactly,
or something.
Like that, right? And that's great. But why that now, right? Whereas the International Space Station, right? If we're making something about that, you know, NASA's losing its funding probably. You know, there's this is a thing that's relevant. This station's only going to be up in the air for another 2, 3, 4 years, isn't it? Something like that, right?
Alistair, you've totally compelled me.
We have to make it
your
now.
Your argument of NASA's losing its funding probably just swayed me.
Yeah.
And I was utterly floored.
And at this time of tension between America and Russia, how does that play out? How does that play out in space?
If it's a backpackers.
You know, are those guys spies in some way? Are they both astronauts and spies?
Okay, here's this.
Yeah.
Mine, right? My one's called Backpacker, right?
Okay.
And it's the original Alien. Yours, Backpackers. It's the sequel.
No. I don't want mine to be called Backpackers. I want that to be the allegory that emerges... But it's not made explicit like that.
Sure.
I like it less obvious.
I like it so obvious.
You love it obvious. And in mine, we're just there's going to be a suspension of disbelief.
Mm.
There's not even going to be any zero gravity stuff. Everyone's just going to be walking around.
That's actually really good.
Yeah.
That's quite fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can have that in yours if you like. I don't, I'm not 100%.
I'm just generally on board with the idea of any kind of space thing where, like, you're in space.
Yeah.
But there's no space stuff.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows you're in space.
They
get
it.
There's no, like, vacuum or whatever. And everyone's just basically in a house.
I mean, that's kind of what he did, you know, with 2001. I mean, at first, like, they're like, oh, yeah, we're in space, big dance, blah, 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 blah. But then as soon as you get on the ship, they're like, all right, let's just activate that fake gravity thing as if that can just work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we're just walking around.
Now we're just walking around. Okay. All right. You get it. Space, 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 blah, 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 blah. All right, now let's just...
And then it's just a sitcom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just a thing where people are talking slowly and nothing much is happening. And then and you get onto some of that stuff. Obviously, it's beautiful and all that. Yum, 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 yum.
Just eat it up with your eyes. Yum, 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 yum. Yum, 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 yum.
Also, the other thing is that is your idea just Hitchhiker's Guide to Galaxy, but with a Swedish hitchhiker?
No, it's definitely not.
Great.
No, because I hadn't thought of that until this point, and I'm not going to analyze it enough to find all the similarities. But I can just say definitely not.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't hitchhiking. He was just drifting aimlessly through space in a pod.
Now, here's a totally separate idea, right? So you can write down whichever of those two ideas, Alistair, you think is the best, and I just leave that up to you, and I trust your judgment, and I trust that you're honest enough with yourself to be able to make that kind of a call. All right? Because I think you ultimately know which one's the better idea.
And great.
I'm not even going to look at what you've written down. So it's, you know, and I guess it'll just be between you and your God, whatever you choose to do in this situation. Here's an unrelated idea. I would say that of all the body parts on the human body,
okay,
that if... we were to be told they're not actually part of our body. They're just a parasitic life form that has come and has joined our body.
Yeah.
I would say the tongue.
Oh, yeah.
I say the tongue quite clearly is so different to anything else on the body and so separate and also potentially superfluous, right? Like, I don't think we necessarily need the tongue.
Whoa, that's bold.
But it's there. It's weird. It moves around like a snake worm, like a flat old muscular snake worm.
Yeah.
Nothing else on the body does that.
No, you're right.
And just saying.
Yeah.
You know, like if we, I don't know if anyone studied the DNA of the tongue.
Mm.
I know we've studied the DNA of a lot of of the body.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they've looked at the tongue. And if we found out that it was, oh my God. This is like nothing we've ever seen before.
Well, I'm picturing trying to eat soup without a tongue, where you like put it into your mouth and then it just kind of sits in that cavity down there.
Yeah, and then you tip your head back.
Yeah, I guess that seems
like
easy.
Like a bird.
Enough. Yeah. And I guess, yeah, a lot of animals probably do without tongues. Do birds have... Birds wouldn't have tongues.
Birds have got tongues.
Yeah?
Every animal's got a tongue.
Really? What about bugs?
Bugs might not have tongues.
Do they have like inner mandibles as well that just kind of keep like pushing things backwards?
Oh man, like in like those things in Men in Black.
Oh.
When he swallows Zed and he shoves him.
Oh no.
Whatever his name is, not Zed, the other one, shoves him down his throat. Whoa.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, that's not good.
But I think.
Yeah.
That. I'm not saying it's not a symbiotic relationship. Like, I'm not saying the tongue doesn't bring something. And there's obviously a reason we've kept the tongue around, right? But
I am into
it's
this.
Just suspicious.
I'm into this because it makes me think of, let's say, we encounter a new type of like, ray.
Yeah.
Right? Like, some kind of signal, you know, through either electromagnetic signal or like, you know, or something else.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And the side effect of it is that it convinces this creature, this creature that is usually in a symbiotic relationship with man to just that it could just do it on its own.
Yeah. Well, like maybe it's from their home planet, right? And it's calling all the tongues to
calling
like
all tongues. Calling all tongues.
To like lick their way to freedom and like they all get together. Imagine that. Imagine just a whole lot of tongues all getting together in like a tidal wave. We see them coming down the street, leaving a trail of saliva. And they get like, they form this kind of like, you know,
a bigger tongue,
a bigger superorganism
that,
tongue
that rolls itself around.
Yeah, like you roll a tongue.
Yeah, you know, like it makes, you know, that big muscular side, the base part, big, thick, and then comes down to a point, but it curls itself over like that, and then it shifts its weight so that it can just roll down the street.
The
like
main
that.
Street of New York.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Well, obviously, like
Old Main Street, New York.
But then you turn to the TV and you can see the Sydney Opera House is sort of burning. And,
yeah.
And then clearly the tongues have got out there. And, you know, then you turn and you can see that there's an uprising in maybe Libya, you know, and there's just this sandy tongue that's like, you know, like
sandy tongue.
Like it's you know, it's mobile phone footage of people going
shaky,
you know, and they're getting like running away, and they're seeing the sandy tongues just running at them and knocking over people, and people are getting up, and you know, like the tongue's gone by, and you can see people's full body imprint in the ground. They're getting up from that full body imprint in
the
sand.
And they got saliva all over their back.
Yeah, they got that slime,
and they got no tongues.
They all got no tongues.
This is going to be a really. I think this will be a great film.
This is a weird, this is just a weird detail, but you know, like in some cultures, there's that thing like that. When they do that, they won't be able to do it with, they won't have their tongue.
Oh my God.
It's just going to be.
That's so compelling because it's so real.
Yeah. And so
I think it really humanizes it.
Yeah.
Like when we see what people have lost.
Exactly.
And I think, but then of course, there's got to be some people who've like, they have such a relationship with their tongues that it's hard. You know, maybe the tongue doesn't want to go. And see, then that's an interesting story. That's the real, like, that's the emotional core of our film.
One man and his
tongue.
Man
and has to team up with his tongue to lick the alien menace.
Oh, yeah. That's good, Andy. That's on the cover of the DVD.
And I like.
And we're only releasing it on DVD.
Not Blu-ray.
Not Blu-ray. Not high definition.
VCD. We're only releasing it on VCD.
I think a lot of people do that. Is that really? Is that digital?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like. And then we have pretty much
just a good idea.
The exact. We have the exact. Not VOD. Not video on demand. VCD. Those video CDs.
That's a good compression, you know. It's like, you know, 650 meg. That's a good downloadable size.
That's right.
I'm still for it.
What about a way of compressing videos where we don't like lose any quality?
Yeah.
We just cut out a bunch of scenes that you don't really need.
It's a good idea.
And we summarize them.
It saves. Could you just make the synopsis in video form?
Yes.
So that you could just watch that.
We have the exact speech from Independence Day, the big speech, this is our Independence Day, but he delivers it without a tongue. This is our Independence Day.
I love it so far. And then there's also people who have been, who've really mistreated their tongues, you know, who their tongues not don't even bother going to join the thing. First, they're going to kill you.
Yeah. Well, you can choke on your own tongue.
Well, yeah. So you can choke on your tongue when it's even no longer your own.
Yeah, yeah. But it can strangle you.
Yeah. I mean, if it just dove down, yeah, it could just wriggle out and in. Do you think it could? I think the tongue.
These are people who like drink soup too hot and stuff.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that you would really see the effects on people who, once they've lost their tongue, they're going to take a bite from, let's say, a pie or something that's just come out of the oven. They're not going to have that cooling system of bouncing the food around
with their tongue
while you breathe in and out air to cool it really quickly like
that. Because the tongue cops all of that heat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to realize, as soon as we're dumping that onto our bottom palate, we're going to realize exactly how hot that's been and what we've been putting our tongues through.
Absolutely. And then, and I guess that would be the lesson.
What have you been putting your tongue through?
Dude, have you been... What? Anyway, and I guess also there might be a wound there now too, so that's also going to be painful.
We're not going to see a wound.
Okay, great.
It's all going to be
it's clean break.
It's a clean break. Yeah, because I think the tongue was never really connected. It was just holding on. Yeah, with something.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you could imagine it. You know, it doesn't want to hurt itself either.
No.
So even if there is like an atomic bond there,
Could just break that.
Atomic James Bond.
Oh my goodness, Alistair.
Yeah, I know. I just had to say it.
We can delete that if you want.
You want to go back?
We can delete that from the podcast.
Andy, I want just that clip cut out and then put onto other larger podcasts than our own and used to advertise this podcast.
Right. Okay. Let's buy some advertising space.
Mm.
On the Weekly Planet.
Mm.
That's fair.
How are we going to overcome the tongues?
How are we going to overcome them?
Yeah.
Well, we've got to realize what are tongues, what is their weakness, maybe the underside of the
It could
tongue.
Be hot food, though.
Could be hot food, yeah.
It could be
soup, hot soup.
Or like cups of tea that you've just poured.
Yeah. Yep.
So you know, like, you know that thing when you take a big sip when you don't realize how hot it is and you realize I just have to let this liquid pour out of my mouth because I am. Have you ever done that?
What about a microwaved party pie?
Yeah. That's how we get them. Yeah, that's exactly it. We put it in for
like
three minutes. And we just have like lines of people microwaving goes ding. And then they're throwing them like Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, yeah. Or we're making a giant party pie and we're...
And to get the big tongues that have
joined
together.
We're heating it up with a nuclear reactor somehow, you know, and redirecting the energy of the sun.
I mean, the idea of just making a microwave big enough to handle a big party pie. And then you can see the tongues, they have it thrown at them, and then they do bounce it on them for a bit.
Yeah, but I guess there's no breath.
And
there's
then
nothing to do
no,
the breathing.
That's true, yeah. But then at some point you just see them crumble and that and realize that there's actually no defense against the
pie. And then from that point on, everybody's tongue, you get your tongue back, but the tongue is somehow in shackles, like shackled to your face.
Oh. Yeah, right. So we do actually get it back.
I guess so.
Do you have to put like one of those professor, you know, like those Magneto helmets on the tongue
so
it can't hear the symbol, the signal? I'm really into just remaking other films, but completely like you just use the shape of that film and then just completely change. So you never say this is just Independence Day, but with tongues.
You never say that.
You don't say that because I think...
That cheapens it somehow.
So, but you do have to send up something to the mothership.
Yes.
You know, to kind of stop it from being able to send that signal.
The Mouther ship. It's a big mouth.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Is it kind of a bit of a frown?
Yeah.
Frown mouth.
Yeah. Was it on the moon? Was the alien ship on the moon?
No. Remember, because they were kind of like hidden in the clouds.
Hidden in the clouds?
Oh, well, you know, they weren't motherships, but they were ships that came over the cities, and they were just kind of hidden in cloud for ages. And then eventually they kind of got revealed, and that's when they did those big beams into the...
Oh, and blew up the White House.
And a few other buildings. Yeah. You know, that's a symbolic move, right? That one, because you're not really destroying one of the most important buildings in Washington D.C. Probably there's probably like some buildings there that are much more important that, you know, like let's say that runs the telephone systems or like the, you know, the water or electricity or something like that. You know, if you knock that out, that would probably have a real negative effect. Like, the president will probably be far away from that building, you know, even if he goes into one of his tunnels or something.
I quite like this from an alien perspective of they're attacking strategically important targets, but the vision doesn't look impressive.
Yeah.
That
doesn't look good.
The TV broadcasts, like, what even is that? You know, it's a dam or something like that, or it's a dams look quite impressive when they crumble.
When they burst,
but just like some kind of grey, basically formless server farm or something, which is where they keep a lot of the cloud, the data, internet of some kind.
This is, you know, yeah, it's some kind of, yeah, it's just like a signal place that, you know, where a lot of like, you know, the telecommunications, the electricity network, and the maybe like the, you know, all the lights for the streets and stuff like that, they get run on there.
Now, how do we present that as a sketch? Well, because like it feels like it. Now that I conceptually know the idea, I'm into it, right? I like it a lot, but because it is by its nature visually unimpressive, how do we sell it in a way that still makes it like interesting?
So I think
like a trailer for a movie, or we see it from the point of view of the aliens.
So we see the ship pull up in front over the top of the White House, right? And then we cut to inside, right? And some lackey just goes, "Independence Day alien captain, what's going on here? Why are we stopping above the White House?" And he goes, "Well, you know, we're going to blow up the White House. For some reason, this captain sounds like Obama. We're going to go over the White House. We're going to blow it up. It's going to look spectacular." You go, "Well, that's not really going to have a huge effect on you know?" And then they go, "Well, you know, actually, you know, a lot of us strategically, we kind of figured out this would be way better." And he goes, "Well, it's not going to look good."
I think Alien War Room is really good.
Alien War.
So we got all the aliens sitting around. They're planning the assault on the Earth. And we can tackle a whole lot of those kinds of tropes.
Yeah.
Alien
War Room.
Yeah. Because they're fighting a hearts and minds kind of battle as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. I guess they want to lose both the hearts and the minds.
Yes.
I mean, when we're blowing up sort of, you know, pointless sort of brutal-looking, boring buildings, you know.
But we're not just here to do that. We're not just here to remove the existing regime. We're here to install an alternative, gradually settling cloud of dust and rubble.
Yeah, that's the regime that we're going to have in place. Obviously, we're not even here. We don't even want to stay. We just want to do, you know, maximum destruction.
Yeah, is what, you know, what the point of this intergalactic voyage.
Huge voyage. Huge,
great expense. See, yeah, I think destroying things like the White House might have a short-term morale kind of victory for them.
Keep going. I just have to pee real
bad. Yeah, no, that's fine. I could do this for hours. You get a short-term morale-style victory from blowing up the White House. But in the longer term, if you're hoping to take over that location, we've got to think about the heritage value of the White House And that's ultimately going to, you know, 50, 60 years down the track, the aliens are very much entrenched in power. The alien economy is strong. The earthling slaves are, have helped the development of an alien middle class. What do you get then? You get alien tourism. And those aliens are going to be fascinated by the, the quaint, picturesque symbolism and, artifacts of the former human inhabitants of Washington, D.C. And the economic value of something like the White House to a future alien tourism economy, like local alien tourism economy, is going to be enormous. So I think you've got to factor that kind of thing into your alien landmark demolition program.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you're sure. You're blowing up the Statue of Liberty, but really, you're shooting yourself in the foot in the long term, Alistair.
Not just the Statue of Liberty in the foot.
Yes.
But, as well as other parts of her body.
I only just really recently realized that it's the Statue of Liberty because it's a statue of Lady Liberty, right? Mm. I thought it was just like the Statue of Liberty, sort of just, it's a statue sort of about liberty.
Yeah.
Symbolizing liberty, but it's not. It's the statue of liberty.
So, because her name is Liberty, Lady Liberty. Liberty.
She's Liberty.
Oh.
Liberty.
Liberty.
Liberty. Liberty. I'm not talking about liberty.
Yeah.
I'm talking about liberty.
No.
Liberty.
I guess it brings to mind, one of those kind of like, stereotypical stripper names that is like often something kind of meaningful,
yeah,
like that. So, you know,
we don't know what she's wearing under that toga.
That's right. Liberty would be a great stripper name.
It would be.
Mm.
It would be, and then you know,
I guess you need some... a last name. It's got to be like Liberty Fox or Liberty Sanchez. I don't know. Sanchez is not a great stripper last name. It's just kind of like Smith, but. Latino.
Yeah.
I was thinking, if you are traveling intergalactically, there usually would have to be some kind of purpose. Obviously, exploration is something, but I guess the people back home got to feel like they're paying for these journeys for something. Like you're probably bringing something back, new technology or resources or something like that. There's got to be like something that makes it viable. But is it viable to just do it for sort of home planet morale, to just like people back home sort of watch, keep track of the journey and it just makes them feel good to see them destroying other civilizations. And
yeah, well, I mean, it's got a kind of a sports vibe to it then, doesn't it? Like, we're always excited when Australia makes the Football World Cup.
Yeah.
And when we beat some of the oceanic nations.
Of course, yeah.
Thrilling.
Yeah.
When we almost get a draw with somewhere like Japan, my God, this country is electric.
Yeah. And so I guess sort of interplanetary war is the greatest sport of all. Right. And so you would go there and you would just blow them up. You go, see, we're the best. And then you would feel good about yourself. And then you'd move on and search for other potential planets that have to live in the Goldilocks zone.
Yes.
Right. Which is the area in which the porridge is the right temperature.
Yes.
And the chairs are not too hard or
and
too soft.
And the bears are absent.
Yeah, and the bears are absent. Which is why, despite us being in the Goldilocks zone...
The presence of bears.
The presence of bears has kept other aliens away. We're in an anomaly.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bali in that way.
Mm. I think, the sport thing of, it's doubly embarrassing for Earth to be defeated by aliens in that case, because we're playing a home game. You know, we have the home ground advantage. We're wearing our home shirts.
Do you think that while we're being beaten up by aliens, we feel embarrassed that
everyone's here
seeing us be beaten by aliens?
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder what kind of things you would say to somebody. Like, let's say, you know, aliens are currently destroying the world. Mm. Right? They're invading. Things around you are not good. There's lots of rubble, and you're kind of just scurrying between shells of buildings to shells of buildings, looking for canned food and things like that. And around the place, you can just see,
hovering sort of orbs.
Hovering orbs.
Picking off the few survivors.
Yeah, and there's ground troops that are kind of, you know, that they've got lots of tubes coming off of them, and they're carrying some kind of weapon that...
That's like a blue flamethrower.
Yeah, exactly. But then you encounter another person, maybe somebody that you had seen on your bus every now and then, during regular life. Mm. What kind of small talk you go? Do you say like, oh, this is fucked?
I wonder if just to pull back the sports thing again, if like a sports team who is losing, we find ways to justify it to ourselves, you know? We say things about, we blame the referee or whatever the equivalent of the referee is. We talk about the conditions. We talk about the important injuries that we've had recently and how, like, you know, really, this is just a new team that we're getting together. There's a lot of youngsters in here, and I feel like, you know, sure, we're losing today, but we're laying the groundwork to, several civilizations from now, put together a pretty compelling backline and hopefully fend off these kinds of attacks in future. Is that interesting in any way?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a bit tedious.
I could see like that being one person's point of view. Mm. Like, look, mate, just, you know, we could have done way better, but they were cheating.
But the boys did their best.
You know, yeah, we've done our best. You know, but then
I think a post any kind of post war press conference done in a sports coach justification style.
Yeah.
Like, Australia has been invaded.
Mm.
We've been totally overrun.
Yeah.
And there's a press conference in which the head of the army and, you know, a couple of the...
Could be robot revolution.
Major generals. Exactly. A couple of the major generals are there and they're fielding questions and they're just responding to them in the way that, like, oh, look, couldn't have been more proud of the boys. I mean, we've obviously, we've had a tough season, but you play what you what's in front of you. And obviously like that, but with more more military kind of allusions. Obviously like that, Alistair, with the bits added into it that make it comedy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I believe we got given some words by... listener of the podcast, three words from a listener of the podcast, supporter on Patreon.
Before we go to that.
Yes, Alistair, you want to say something?
I think the small talk during getting wiped out.
Yes.
There's something there.
Yeah.
Like, where it's just like, what are you talking to somebody about? Are you, like you do see somebody who you don't know, but you're like, I guess you're asking if there's any food. How you doing?
Yeah. Do we still have the politeness? Do we still have the, hi, how are you? Oh, good. Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
The meaningless stuff.
Yeah.
Before we actually get into any kind of,
or
status,
like, yeah, or the sarcastic humor, like, good day for it, or
yeah.
Oh, having a good day? Yeah, great one. Thanks.
Or, right? It's someone you and your family are staggering injured through the mud.
Mm.
you've lost a leg and you're carrying all your possessions in your arms, right? But you bump into somebody that you went to high school with, okay? And you're trying to...
Still seem like things are going pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Between the two of you, you're both sort of slightly competing to say who's still doing the best.
I haven't seen you since high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still doing engineering?
Yeah, he goes, oh, no, I dropped off. What about you still doing architecture? Well, yeah, I'm using one of these tubes that you roll up engineering drawings as a leg right now. And yeah, but in there is some stuff I'm working on at the moment. And we got to actually, the site where we were going to build it has actually been cleared now because of the invasion. So that's probably a good chance that there's going to get a go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. We're pretty excited about the potential for the growth of the industry. Obviously, once all this is over.
Yeah.
And, re-established.
Absolutely, yeah.
Society.
Once we start rebuilding, then I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
I think this is actually pretty good for me. And, you know, and Macy's, she's reading. She's reading quite ahead of her. Very years. How about you? Are you sorry, you said you weren't doing engineering anymore? He goes, yeah, I'm sort of I've had quite a bit of success with
finding potatoes.
I found there was a community garden down there but you can't tell because it's under a building, but I found a nook that you can climb under
You know, so I'm taking home 7-8 potatoes a day.
Yeah. Oh, cool, yeah. Great. Where did you say that was? Oh, I can't really tell you at the moment because it's a whole survival.
We're keeping it under wraps for the time being.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck to you. And
good luck. Yeah.
Good luck with the architecture.
Yeah. And yeah. But sorry, did you say you're working at the moment? Oh, I'm kind of in between.
Yeah.
Stuff at the moment, but you know, really trying to focus on just the day-to-day survival of the me and the kids.
Because that's what's important, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get caught up in career.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, what really matters is fleeing from the mind storm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the little ones.
And keeping gangrene at bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me anyway. But that sounds like the architecture is going really good.
Yeah, good luck to you with your career. We got some words.
We got some words. Oh, yeah, I've already written them down. It's from, these come from a listener called, and I apologize, I don't know the last name I've never encountered. I'm going to say James Roy, but it's R-O-Y-E.
Right.
It could be Roye.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Rohe.
Roya.
Roya?
Yeah. Roy.
Great.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, James. The three words are...
James, I just want to reassure you that like we might have sounded sad, but your last name did not make us depressed.
It was just a moment in which the sadness that lives within all men got exposed, and it just happened to be after we were saying your name. It had nothing to do... I just... If anything, I felt sad for you.
Yeah. Sure, this is good.
Yeah, that, you know, people were really misinterpreting how your name probably is pronounced. His three words, and there's a complexity level to it. All right, but here's the three words. Mm-hmm. Mid-Atlantic pigeon, right? But pigeon... And I think if I've copied it down correctly, the letters P-I-G-E are all caps, but O-N are small.
Is Mid-Atlantic hyphenated?
No, they're different words.
Mid-Atlantic pigeon, right?
Yeah, pigeon.
So it's like pig.
Or pigeon.
Pigeon.
Pig, but the E is capital as well. So it, you know, it does have like an app name kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Or like a, you know, a company, maybe some kind of company that establishes itself somewhere between London and New York. You know, those two powerhouses of cities.
Mm.
Mm. You know,
Atlantis.
Atlantis.
Is Atlantis in the middle of the Atlantic? Like, is that what the Atlas comes from?
Feel like it would be really close to other land. Or do you think it was an island nation?
I think it was an island. I think that's how it sank beneath the sea.
I know, but
I mean, not that that explains anything.
Yeah.
But, like, if you didn't know that islands had bits underneath that hold them up, you could believe that.
Yeah. I just assume that in order for the Greeks or whoever came up with this myth, you know, it just would have had to have been, like, basically within that bay or something like that, you know?
Probably. Yeah, it would have been like a suburb.
Yeah.
Right? That's how small people's lives were at that time.
Yeah.
I think the idea of like a suburb that is like Atlantis is quite funny, right? Like a suburban Atlantis, you know, you have your local neighborhood. You've got your Brunswick, you've got your West Brunswick, East Brunswick,
yeah,
right? The idea that there used to be a North Brunswick, but it sank beneath the waves, and like we talk about this North Brunswick like it was amazing, like they had all the best coffee shops, right? And I think what it was is they started to think themselves rivals to the gods, at least in terms of their ability to make coffee.
Yeah.
And as a punishment, North Brunswick was sunken.
This is the problem with gods.
Yes.
Is that they're quite petty.
They are, yeah.
And they won't, even though they probably have no interest in making coffee whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
They probably don't even have an espresso machine, especially not a top-of-the-line one like the people in North Brunswick had. Yet, if you just, it's an affront to them if you even mention that you could be comparable in skill level to them.
There's a real fable in that. There's a real lesson in that.
Yeah. So I guess...
But also, sorry, you were going to say something.
No. So, like, is it just that part of the ocean has entered this quite inland area?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Like it's just a section, you know? It's a section of municipal boundary that was defined as North Brunswick.
Yeah.
And, like, people from Brunswick, mid Brunswick or whatever, come out in the morning and they look up there, and there's just like a sort of a crack in the ground, and everything's gone down like a sinkhole.
Yeah, and it's salt water.
Yeah.
So
that's
how
you
know.
It's the ocean. There are dolphins in there.
Yeah. And that's how you know it's.
It's the sea.
It's the sea.
Yeah, because it's got to be the sea.
Yeah, absolutely. The lost suburb of North Brunswick.
Yeah, and maybe there's a few coffee cups and stuff floating around in there.
There would be some crockery. Put that in a museum.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if people did actually, turn that into a great sort of underwater town that you could actually visit, you know, using some of those sort of clear plastic tubes and things like that, where you could go back and experience what it was like to have coffee back then, back before it was underwater. But now it's actually up and running again, and it's probably the real estate market there is probably even more expensive now.
And I think it's quite nice to have that as like a emblematic of why we shouldn't try and get our coffee too good, because like a lot of places you go, like country towns and that sort of thing, you go and you're like, this coffee is abysmal. Why don't you spend half a day just getting one of your staff trained to make an acceptable coffee. This isn't even coffee.
No.
This is just a cup of flavor.
A hot brown.
Bad flavor.
Hot brown wetty.
Yeah, hot brown wetty. And it's hot, wet, and brown, and that's all.
Yeah.
Right? But maybe it's because these simple country folk have, like, learned from a fable that one should not try and get too close to the gods in one's ability to make coffee.
Yeah.
And it's us inner city folk who've lost touch with that.
Yeah.
Right. And the rules that are there for a reason that then hubristically push ourselves to make better and better coffee.
And it would make sense why we don't even have, you know, like their crops do great. And here we don't even bother having crops.
Yes.
Just because the gods are so angry with people in this area.
Yeah.
for the people who own coffee shops who are just, you know, tempting fate.
We haven't had a good harvest for a really long time.
Do you think? How do you think gods would sense it when something gets close to the quality of something that they would make?
I think they probably read Epicure or like the Age Good Food Guide or something like that.
Of course, yeah.
And then maybe they have a Google alert.
Yeah, and they start going
for the word divine.
Yeah,
positively divine.
Yeah.
Or a Google alert for to rival the gods themselves, all in quotation marks.
Uh-oh, we're going to have to go down and do some smiting. Obviously, we'll go down and have some poached eggs and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and taste, then smiting.
And then smite. Bring, I have to carry all that ocean water.
Yeah, it's a spite smite. We'll smite you from spite.
Yeah. All right.
And then we'll be smitten. If someone smites you, are you smitten?
I think so.
It doesn't seem right. To smite someone sounds like, that sounds like a very full-on thing for that person to experience. But to be smitten is almost kind of fun.
Or is that what's happening? Are the gods just making us love them?
I suppose. Or else.
Through
unspeakable vengeance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose, yeah. But is it really love then, you know?
I think we could see... We could see the food reviewer or whoever it is, the critic for the Age Good Food Guide, writing, having the coffee, loving it, right? And then we see them back at their laptop typing the words, a coffee to rival the gods themselves, right? And then we see the Google alert go ping up, an email comes into the inbox of Zeus_69@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
And Zeus is obviously, enraged and, you know, and comes down to earth, I'm going to say, in the form of a swan.
Swan. Yeah.
And, you know, comes into this this cafe and asks about the coffee. And one of the waiters there says, "Oh yes, no, it's the best coffee around. It's a cup of brown that would make the very lords themselves tremble in fear at the power of man and his awful might." And obviously Zeus is enraged.
Yeah, obviously he has a coffee. It's actually, you know, it's not just using hyperbole because that's always a risk.
People say a lot of stuff that affronts the gods. Yeah. Hyperbole.
Yeah. And then he goes and he gets a couple of buckets and he starts.
He does it with buckets.
Yeah. And you'd think he would get tired, but he's.
He doesn't. That's the thing. That's how he's able to do it.
Yeah.
And they're quite big buckets. And we're then talking like 20 litre buckets.
20 litres. And at some point, people realize he's the source of where all that water's coming from. And people try to physically stop him. And it just looks like one of those, like, you know, like one of those rugby matches where there's like a 6-year-old who's, you know, who's like the size of an 18-year-old man. And all the kids are just hanging off him, trying to stop him like that. And he just keeps plowing through like that. And he's just carrying these big buckets and then he pours water. And anyway, eventually the whole town sinks. I guess the foundations of this suburb itself. Weaken and it kind of becomes like a sinkhole.
A sinkhole is very much like a kind of a localized Atlantis phenomena, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, for picking off the individuals.
Yeah, it's a micro Atlantis.
Yeah, micro Atlantis
or nano
phenomena.
Atlantis. You know,
you know. Usually, though, like it doesn't happen under an individual person. I don't think a sinkhole. Like usually, it's like half a car and the corner of a house.
Yeah, yeah, or like the middle of a road. Often
in China.
In China, yeah, or Brazil.
Or Brazil.
Yeah. I think these are your hot spots. Wet spots.
Yeah. Yeah, is that an acceptable the lost suburb of North Brunswick? Is that an acceptable sketch for the three suggested words?
Well, I guess it's got the word Atlantic
pigeon.
Yeah, I mean like what's the pigeon thing? Pige or
well, I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah,
we are currently in Brunswick, and I have, for the purposes of just illustrating this in my mind, been picturing the little Peacock Cafe.
Yeah,
that's up the road, But what if it was the Little Pigeon Cafe?
Okay.
But also, across the road from the Little Peacock Cafe up the road, there is a mechanics that has the worst pigeon infestation I've ever seen in my life. Their awning thing is collapsing, and there's all these exposed rafters. It is full of pigeons, and every car that is parked there overnight is just covered in shit.
Yeah, absolute feces fiesta.
So, like, whatever you take your car in to do, part of the process of having your gearbox retuned is that your car will be utterly shit coated.
Yeah.
And presumably they clean that off before they give you your car back, but fuck knows.
You know what it could be? It could be good luck.
It's really good luck. What it is your gearbox plumb out of luck. Anyway, we've got a system going.
I just thought of another.
You've got unlucky gearbox syndrome.
I've just had a slight idea where, you know, it's a guy who's been lost at sea for 7 years, right? And he gets found. He's on this raft, but somehow he's survived, right? He's really been, you know, he's really gotten used to this kind of lifestyle.
Yep.
And he's comes back to the society that he lives in, probably Brunswick and Melbourne, right? And he decides to open up a cafe that is sort of mid-Atlantic themed.
Yeah, that's good.
And he makes the kind of cuisine that he would have eaten.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in that way. So
he's had long enough out there to develop a regional cuisine.
Mm.
And what are we talking? We're talking scraped hull plankton.
Yep. we're talking
sun-dried seagull.
Yeah, or like floating thigh. Like floating dead albatross.
So it's served. The albatross is served in like a big dish of water.
Yeah, big dish, of
seawater.
Seawater,
and like it's just bloated.
Yeah, you gotta like just open it up and take all the little bits of plastic out of its gut and like that. And then you use those as your chopsticks or your skewers.
Yeah, the chopsticks are in the gut.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I've got another idea.
Okay.
Right? We were talking about luck before. Guy goes to the doctor. He's diagnosed. He's had a series of minor injuries, right? And he's diagnosed by the doctor with mild bad luck.
Yeah.
The doctor has to like surgically have a bird shit on him or like whatever the things are that you do to treat mild bad luck.
Mild bad luck. So because it has to like shit on your left shoulder or something like that, or
I guess so.
So he just kind of like there's like a.
I mean, maybe he gets maybe there's no pigeon involved. Maybe he gets a vial of pigeon shit. Gets it mixed up by the nurse.
Apply this to your shoulder like three times a day.
Oh, you've got
to
rub it in. It's like a balm.
Yeah. Like that. You just kind of.
Oh, and you squeeze it out, and when it comes out of the tube, it's got a bit of white and then like a bit of black. Line of black.
It's essentially toothpaste. It looks like toothpaste, but with the.
Sloppy white, and then like a slightly thicker. Tubular bit of looks like bran but black.
Oh, I'm getting close to having my stomach turning.
You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah. All right. What is it called? Diagnosed.
Yeah. What's your mid-Atlantic cuisine cafe called? It's like raft.
I've got raft diet. Like I've got mid-Atlantic raft diet cafe, but what it would actually be called is
it's the life raft or something or the
lifesaver or life lifeline
floaties.
How would you like
raft shack?
You would drink water, but it's like it's been filtered through something like
a t-shirt.
Like but like old cloth.
Yeah, like, a bit of canvas and
like. Dirty
life jacket.
Yeah, dirty canvas filtered seawater.
Your own urine.
Yeah, your own urine.
The chef's urine.
But would you drink your own urine when seawater was just there?
I think it's probably better for you up until a point. Like the urine would get pretty tainted. But I think there's so much salt in seawater that there's no value for you in drinking it because it will dehydrate you further.
Yeah.
Just to clear that amount of salt out of your system.
Just a similar thing would happen if you were lost in an ocean of coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't drink the coffee. It'll just dehydrate you. No, but it's actually pretty good. It's actually not too bad. Stop it.
Do you want to take us through the sketches that we've got so far, all right. Alistair?
All right.
Jeez, what a journey we've been on today.
It's been a big journey, Andy. We got the space station sketch. Now, it's either an allegory of a backpacker.
We don't need to go into this, Alistair.
Or it's a weird spaceship with a Swedish guy who is a backpacker.
Oh, the way the fact that you put the word allegory in yours and the word weird in mine, I mean, it speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Andy. Yeah. And you know what? What's the point of power if you don't abuse it?
Mm.
You know? I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said that.
Yeah. So. If you don't abuse it, is it even power or is it just like kindness and good nature?
Because what that suggests, what abusing power suggests is that you even have power over the power.
Yes.
You know?
Interesting. Yeah. Because if you don't have power over the power, then do you really have power?
No. Well,
because then it just sounds you're just another kind of slave.
Yeah, you're a slave to your own power.
Yeah.
Symbiotic tongues escape the mouths and, you know, start, I guess, taking over. It's like it's like War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
But instead of having buried aliens, they implanted them in early life and allowed them to kind of evolve with all of life, and then eventually there was a call to action and they became sentient. Maybe they've been sentient the whole time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit like it's a sort of Toy Story scenario. When you're not paying attention, they're actually talking to each other. And
they've been a sleeper cell, Alistair. They've been right under our nose the entire time.
Yeah, a sleeper bunch of cells.
Yeah, and we maybe we find that one of the ways that we can defeat them is with our elbows. You know, because we've never previously touched our elbows with our tongues with our elbows. But when they're out of your mouth, you can really pin them down with that thing.
And that's why they were kind of controlling how the DNA would do. So because that's one of that and party pies. Is
two weaknesses.
I mean, biting them as well, really.
Oh, man. But apparently they heal really quickly.
Well, they're like the Wolverines of the body.
Yeah.
We got Independence Day alien war room, but I mean, it could just be alien war room. This is, you know, I guess you could look at alien invasion tropes and talk about, you know, why they're doing things. But in this particular case, we're talking about why blow up the White House when you could blow up something that has a much bigger effect rather than just a symbolic effect.
Mm.
But all that fire was very impressive.
Very impressive, very impressive. And bits of stuff went all over the place.
Yeah.
Good bits of rubble.
We got small talk during the invasion, which would involve meeting up with somebody from high school.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to make it sound like you're still doing okay, still seeking status in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. Also, when they blew up the White House, like they got it bang in the middle.
Oh, it was that was, you know,
smack bang in the middle.
And that would be hard when you're just hovering.
Yeah.
You know, because I guess there would be all sorts of forces. They're quite low altitude. The wind up there would be pretty high.
And surely, wouldn't they have gone to the West Wing? Like the White House, that's the house. But you want to blow up the West Wing, don't you, of the White House? That wouldn't be the middle. That'd be off to the west, presumably, where all the administrative stuff happens.
Mm. But they don't.
No, they go right in the middle.
They go right in the middle there, sort of near the front, you know, close to the front lawn.
Yeah.
So that people who were visiting the town can sort of see it and be like, oh, wow, they really got
They really blew up the White House.
They really got a smack bang in the middle of it like that. You know, I don't know. I think the Pentagon would have been a great.
Pentagon, yeah, but I don't think a lot of people know what the Pentagon looks like.
From the side?
Yeah, from the side.
Yeah. That's true. And then the ship would have been hovering above it.
So you can't get a bird's eye view.
Yeah. And also blowing that right up, it right in the middle.
That would have missed
ground.
It.
They would just got perfect. They would have got the courtyard.
That's probably why there's a hole there.
Do you think there's a courtyard in the middle of the Pentagon?
That's what that is. It's a courtyard.
It's like, you know, they have sort of nice tables so that people can go out have lunch and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Have a sandwich, walk a dog.
Oh, man. The smartest spies just get a hang glider and just fly over that with one of those, like, you know, those mini satellite dish looking things with you got your earphones for listening.
Yeah, the smartest spies with their hang gliders over the Pentagon.
We got military sports conference after Australia
James
gets
atomic
trounced.
Bond. Yeah, how we justify it to ourselves. Australia, we can't handle losing. We can't just lose. Mm-hmm. There's always got to be a reason.
We got the lost suburb of North Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the Mid-Atlantic Raft Diet Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have diagnosed with mild bad luck. And then rub
bird shit into
bird
your shoulder.
Shit into shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's okay.
I mean, I imagine the shit's been treated in some way.
Mm, yeah, no? But, you know...
All the active ingredients were the toxins, the
really
parasites.
It's the awfulness of it that makes it good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still got to be awful. Mm. Maybe they can concentrate it, make it even more awful.
Yeah. All right. I guess so then it's...
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it on all sorts of levels, deeper than you could ever know. We experience this in a way that you could never understand.
Yeah. And that's the sad part about existence.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good for us because we feel things more deeply.
Yeah.
But we do have moments of real sadness.
Oh, sure, sure. Real sadness. Not like the sadness you have.
No.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And sorry we said that. You can find us on Twitter at Two in Tank. I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
I'm at Alistair TB, ALASDAIRTB.
Yeah, you've probably been spelling it wrong all this time. And
that's why he
hasn't got the thousands of followers. Yeah. And you can support us if you like. If you want to send in three words, support us on Patreon.
$3.
And you can support everybody on the Planet Broadcasting Network, a wonderful network.
What a beautiful network. Thank you to all of those who have come from other shows and abandoned those other shows and listened to us exclusively now.
We're like some kind of parasitic life form on the side of the Planet Broadcasting Network, leeching all the good listeners.
We absolutely are the tongue of the Planet Broadcasting Network. You can review us on iTunes.
That would be so nice. Thank you to everyone who does that. That's a very kind thing to do.
You're kind people.
With your limited time.
Absolutely. You guys have lives. We understand that.
And we're going to allow it.
We're going to allow it.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.